This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 24. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. The Epistle is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. And the Gospel is from St. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the Gospel reading from the Sunday. His sermon is entitled, The Christmas We Need.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heavens." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to believe to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We ought to thank God for Matthew and his Christmas account, which addresses what I'd call the darker side of Christmas. In his Christmas account, there's no happy lead-up to Jesus' birth. John doesn't leap in his mother's womb, and expectant mothers don't break out in song. Instead, what Matthew sets before us is a difficult situation. Joseph and Mary are engaged. Joseph has been a gentleman with Mary. He respected and honored her enough to be chaste and decent as God would have him be. But now he finds out that Mary is pregnant. What now? Maybe Mary wasn't who he thought she was. So much for the picture-perfect wedding. He thought the best he could do was to send her off to live with a relative and cancel the wedding, divorce her quietly, as Matthew writes. Joseph seems like a man who wanted to do the right thing. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a just man, but he was also a reasonable and sane man. He knew that virgins just don't get pregnant. It was into Joseph's derailed plans and utter confusion that the word of God gets delivered by an angel of the Lord. It would take the word of the Lord for Joseph to overrule his reason and his senses, not to mention his common sense. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yes, that's why Jesus came, to save his people from their sins. Those sins threaten to separate us from God eternally. Those sins, our sins, are what dims this world into perpetual darkness. Sometimes our sins produce self-inflicted wounds. Sometimes those around us get sucked in. Sometimes innocent people suffer for what we've done or what we fail to do. This ugliness of sin, this depressing darkness, is why Jesus came. He came to save us from our sin and its deadly wages. Matthew makes it clear that the Lord's plan to save you had been around for a long time. There was a prophecy buried deep under about 700 years of Israelite dust. The prophecy of Emmanuel. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, that prophecy was first spoken to faithless King Ahaz. Even though Ahaz didn't want a sign from the Lord gave him one anyway. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. To make a long story short, Ahaz rejected the sign offered by the Lord. Ahaz didn't trust the word of the Lord, and Ahaz went down to swift destruction. That prophecy of Emmanuel laid dormant for centuries, like a forgotten seed planted in the soil. But when God speaks, when God makes a promise, he never forgets it. And one marvelous day, an angel appeared to a young virgin named Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. And the angel said, "Guess what, Mary? You're it. The Lord is with you. Emmanuel." God is with us. The word has become flesh in the womb of a virgin. His name shall be Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Mary believed it, and Joseph believed it too. That is a Christmas miracle. Joseph believed, and Joseph acted according to what he believed. Do you know there isn't a single syllable from Joseph's mouth recorded in the Bible? Mary sings her beautiful Magnificat, but Joseph has no song. He shows his faith by what he does. His actions speak louder than words. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took this pregnant young lady as his wife. He gave the child the name Jesus, as directed by the angel. He raised that child as his very own. Joseph is a picture of faith in action. when God's word and his own common sense didn't agree. Joseph trusted the word. He believed it. He did what it says. You also have the word of the Lord delivered to you, applied to your life. It's not sent by a heavenly messenger, but the message is sent by God to you. Today, the word of God comes to you, calling you to do what Joseph did, to live in the obedience of faith, to live in the light of your baptism, to say no to all sin and ungodliness. In Matthew's version of Christmas, things are messy and complicated because of sin. And I'll bet so will your Christmas be this year. Messy, complicated, joyful, sure, but maybe with the fingerprints of our sin all over it. But the word of the Lord is at work in you. That word intrudes, it inconveniences, it rearranges things. It forgives sin. A virgin bears a son. That son, Jesus, dies and rises from the dead, bearing your sins away. With God and with his word, nothing is impossible. Sinners are forgiven, and the dying depart this life in peace to be with Christ, awaiting the resurrection of the body. For nothing is impossible with God. In a few days, we will celebrate the doing of the impossible. Jesus is born. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And in reality, we celebrate this every Sunday. Jesus is born in us today, in the bread and wine of his Holy Supper, where he comes to save you from your sin. The Christmas account from Matthew isn't so pretty, but it's the one we get this year. It's about God reconciling this messed up world by sending his Son. This is the Christ who comes even when our plans just don't seem to be working out. The Christ was born to die precisely for the likes of us. He came to bring genuine good news into a bad news world. St. Luke, now, he gives us the Christmas we often want, where Mary sings for joy, and where angels fill the sky, and where shepherds marvel at the manger. But St. Matthew, he gives us the Christmas we need. And even in our darkest days, we can still say thank you and alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.